All right, looks like we're ready. Y'all heard that, didn't you? Boom, boom. That wasn't my heartbeat either. I'm going to do this song. I'll be all right as soon as I touch Calvary. Friend, don't worry about this heavy load I carry.
Ephesians chapter 5, if you will. Let's be turning to Ephesians 5, verse 25 through 33. A few weeks ago, we talked about this. Well, we talked about part one of the Spirit-filled marriage, and especially in relationship to the wife. And remember, it's been a few weeks since we've been here. The holidays got in the way. So let me remind you again about Ephesians 5. Paul is speaking of submission in the church in verses 19 through 21, submission in the marriage, verse 22 through 23, and the parents and the children, chapter 6, 1 through 4, and then in the workplace, chapter 6, 5 through 9. So this passage is important. It's always relevant for the culture that we're living in today, because not only are we in a spiritual war, but we're in a culture war. The foundation of marriage and the family is crumbling before our very eyes. The world is changing terms like gender. It used to be just male and female. Now it's everything you can think of. And it's changing terms like the word marriage. I don't have to tell you how that's being changed. And the word family. All you got to do is turn on Fox Network, not news, but Fox Network, and watch a sitcom and see how they portray the family. Well, Paul teaches the key responsibilities of husband and wives as he makes an analogy between Christ and the church, or Christ and his bride. So I last week we looked at the responsibilities of the wife. Can anybody tell me what the two main responsibilities is of the wife in relation to her husband? What? I didn't hear that, but I got an idea. It wasn't biblical. What? What was it, bro? Okay, what else? That's the first one. No. Submission and respect. Okay? Man. Boy. Rex is my kind of man, buddy. Okay. I won't ask that side. No more questions. Okay. Well, today we're going to talk about the responsibilities of the husband. Everything centers on verse 25. The responsibilities of the husband is found in verse 25. So let's stand in honor of God's word. Now, y'all don't look at me and laugh. I'll start laughing, okay? But look in verse 25 of chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives. How? Even as Christ also loved the church, what? And gave himself for it. Main responsibility of the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And now, what kind of love is that? Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle of any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Let me say something right here. That he may present it to himself. We are God's love gift to his son, John 17. But one day, Jesus is going to present us back to the Father. A church, what? Now, y'all, listen to what it says. This is not me. A glorious church. We are glorious by position, but we're not glorious sometimes by practice, are we? Not having spot or wrinkle. See, we're looking ahead. See, right now, we are positionally perfect in Christ, but we got some spots. And we got some wrinkles, right, as a church. But he should be holy and without blemish. Right now, we do have some blemishes, don't we? But one day, when the Son gives us back to the Father, we're going to be without blemish. Amen. See, you don't have to be perfect to go to heaven. Can I get an amen there? Amen. You go to heaven because you came by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Well, you know, as I pass by all these exercise places, you know, I'm thinking, man, I wish those people probably loved their spouse like they do their own body, right? But I got news for you. I don't care how much you exercise and Adam all die. You're going to drop dead one day, right? But the Bible says here, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now he quotes Genesis 2:24. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined together, joined unto his wife. That word joined means united. It's the first marriage there in the Garden of Eden. And they shall be one flesh. I don't have to tell you what one flesh talks about. It's the consummation of the marriage. He says, this is a great mystery, but I speaking concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence or respect her husband. Father, I pray today as we look at spirit-filled husbands, Lord, both spouses, wives and husbands, we fall so short in this body and this life. But Lord, may it be our goal to obey Ephesians 5 in our marriage. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to get down to the nuts and the bolts here. What is a spirit-filled husband? Well, how does he love his wife? Well, I want to share with you three kinds of love. They're all on the screen there, the bottom part. First of all, we're to love our wives sacrificially. It is a sacrificial love. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The love of Christ for his church was shown at the cross, right? When he gave himself for the bride. His back was scourged, his hands and feet were nailed to the wood, his spear was thrust into his side. We're not even counting all the beatings he had. He gave himself for the bride. A crown of thorns was placed on his head, all because he loved the church. His love was a sacrificial love coupled with unequal humility and love. And we talked about that a few weeks ago in the Philippians 2, how he humbled himself, how he left glory in heaven, came down all the way to be buried in an empty tomb that wasn't even his. See? Humility is one thing that we've lost in this world. Would you agree? Man, I mean, now what is the application for husbands here? Well, the husband is called to die. Dying to self means giving up yourself to your bride. Yeah, you can still have interest and you can still have your thing, but you're here to die for her if it be necessary. The husband is the protector of the wife physically and spiritually. Not only is he called to die, but he's called to serve. We are not to be passive husbands, but strongly, actively loving our wife. I don't know about you, but I'll get down to the nuts and bolts. So, you know what's wrong with the family? A lot of times it's the men. You know what's wrong with the church? Because it's wrong with the family? It's the men. They are passive in their relationships. They are not taking the spiritual lead. They are not protecting their wife spiritually, right? And it's more like we just float along. You watch them come into church. They're just floating along behind their wives. I know this is hard, but I'm telling you, and you know yourself, there's a great problem with our men in our churches all over the world, right? Not every one of them, but some of them, right? Passive. So it's a sacrificial love, verse 25. But then it's a sanctifying love in verse 26 and 27. And see, this is what Christ did for us. He gave his life for us, but also he wants to sanctify us. And the husband's goal is to sanctify his wife. Look in verse 26 and 27. That he might sanctify that. That's letting us know why he died for the church. That he might sanctify, that means to set apart, right? And cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, and that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Verse 26 tells us why Christ died for the church, that he might sanctify his bride, that he might set us apart and make us positionally like Christ. Yes, that's a once for all thing he did at the cross and our belief in him. But there's an ongoing progressive sanctification. So the question is often asked in verse 27, is this progressive sanctification or positional sanctification? You heard me teach on that. Positional sanctification is when we're in Christ, when we come to him by faith, we are in Christ. We are in inseparable union with him. We're in the body of Christ. That's an inseparable union, right? That is what we call positional sanctification. Or is he talking about progressive sanctification here? That's what, after we get saved, we continue to be conformed to the image of his son. Do you know that, men, that after you're saved, you're in maybe, but you've got to show some things that you're in, and one of those is you have a desire to be like Christ, right? And so what is he talking about here? Well, I believe verse 27 seems to talk about positional sanctification. Speaks of our ultimate glorification when we get our new body at the resurrection. Amen. We'll be like him. As Brother Ray said this morning, we'll go through a door. He went through a door. It'll be a different molecular structure, our glorified bodies. We'll be here, then we'll be there. We won't even have to eat. But he'll have some fruit there in the garden for us to eat if we want to, but we don't have to eat. Jesus didn't have to eat. He ate to show Thomas who he was, right? And so, we're talking here about a sanctifying love. Men, our desire should be for our wives' sanctification. Now, how does he do this? What are the agents of his cleansing there in verse 26? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The washing of water by the word. Now, does this water here refer to water baptism? No, it don't. I know I've baptized a lot of lost people. They were no different when they came up than when they went down. Baptism does not cleanse you from your sins. It is an outward display to the world that you've met Christ, right? So what is he talking about here? It doesn't refer to water baptism. Paul speaks of water as a spiritual cleansing by the Spirit of God that takes place at salvation. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and of such were some of you, but you were washed. Now, interesting here, I didn't quote the whole verse. Before that, he talked about all kind of scoundrels and what they used to do. And then he says to the church at Corinth, but which were some of you, but you were washed, you are sanctified, you are justified by the name of the Lord Jesus, by the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that cleanses us of our sin, right? And it is the Spirit of God that cleanses the church and preparing her to meet the Lord one day. And it's not only by the water, but it's by the word. This refers to the gospel there. Ephesians 6:17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, what? Which is the word of God. God uses his word through his Spirit to cleanse us, right? And this is what we need to do as husbands. What's the application for husbands? I told you I was going to get to the nuts and the bolts, and I know when you get around a dinner table at O'Neill's or wherever you go, you're going to say, see, that's what the preacher said. That's what I've been trying to tell you for years, right? What is the application for the husbands? Well, we can't forgive our wife of their sins like Christ can the church. And we can't save our wives as Christ saved the church. But we should love our bride in a way that helps her grow in Christ-likeness. Again, you are the spiritual protector of your wife. You are the priest of your home. It is up to you guys. If your wife is going to grow, you need to lead the way, right? And we have so many wives that are trying to lead the way, and the husband's just dragging in the back, holding her back, wait, man, just bear it down, you know, just. And he ought to be up front leading the way in the spiritual development of his wife. I want to ask you a hard question, guys. Is your wife more like Christ because she is married to you, or is she more like Christ in spite of you? Boy, that's a hard one, ain't it? Yeah. Is your wife more like Christ because she's married to you, or is she more like Christ in spite of you? See, you can preach like this when you know your congregation loves you, right? We are the priest of the home, the one who looks out for the spiritual welfare of their wife. And we need to be in the Word, and we need to teach them to be in the Word and in prayer and to promote their spiritual growth, right? Faye, I'm going to use you for an illustration today. It's a good one, okay? Well, you know, over the years, Faye's been married to me, a preacher, okay? Well, I wasn't a preacher when we first got married. I was far from it until God got a hold of me. But I would tell her things about theology. And I would point out, you know, Faye, did you hear what I heard on the radio? Or did you hear what I hear when we went to visit a church? Did you hear? I said, that's not good theology, right? But now she's grown so much that she'll point it out to me before I can point it out to her, right? Am I not right, Faye? Okay. So we're on good ground. So it's rewarding to me to see my wife to develop in her theology to that point. You see what I'm saying, guys? Right? What kind of theology would your wife get if she got it from you? Boy. I don't know who cleans up next week, but there are going to be some burnt spots in the pews next week. So how does Christ love the church? Men, how do we love our wives? Sacrificially. It's a sacrificial love. It's a sanctifying love. And then the best part of all probably is a satisfying love. Right? Verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Then he goes on to talk about the one flesh relationship. It is a satisfying love. And y'all know what I'm talking about there, and I don't have to go into explicit detail about that. And then verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. See, we're back to that. The wife's responsibility is to submit biblically and to reverence her husband, respect her husband. Again, Paul here refers to Genesis 2:24, the one flesh relationship, which speaks of the satisfying love. This is a classic outline. I'm not the only preacher. every preacher that preaches on this text probably uses this outline. Okay? So I ask you, husbands, today as we begin to close, are you nourishing your wife spiritually? Oh, well, you don't know, Brother Ken, I make a lot of money for her. Man, I got kids in the best schools. They dress with all the fads. Man, we got everything we need. I've taken care of my family. I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you, are you nourishing spiritually your spouse, right? Are you cherishing your wife? Are you admiring and complimenting your wife? A little compliment will go a long ways, won't it, Faye? Well, never mind. But a little compliment will go a long way, won't it? I know with us men, when our wives show us some respect, sometimes we don't know what to do. Right? Are y'all following me today? Bobby, you're going to be in trouble if you follow me, brother. But going out the door, honey, you look good today. Right? I don't tell my wife enough. She looks good every day, and I can't help it. I look good every day, too. People at church see me and say, man, you look good in that suit. Well, I can't help it. I try to underdress, and it still don't work. But husbands, we need to love your wives as you do your own bodies. Let me ask you a question. I know we're church people here. We're saved. But if I could speak to a bunch of lost people right now, do you love your wife? Because Paul's talking to Christians here, right? Do you love your wife as you love your own body? You know, as I look around and see what's happening in this world, guys are doing things to their wives they wouldn't even do to their own bodies, right? It's just amazing. Husbands, we need to love our wives as we love our own bodies. You know, what's the overall thing here? God ordained marriage. It's one of the family institutions that he has ordained other than the family and government. Right? God has ordained marriage. A marriage between a man and a woman for a lifetime, if possible. And it's not this willy-nilly that you see. I was looking up Derek Jeter this morning on the internet. Frank was talking about, we were talking about how athletes go broke after 1 or 2 years. And all lottery winners do, mostly. And so I looked up Derek Jeter. He bought part interest in the Marlins. I think I saw about 10 girlfriends that have knocked the lights out. But what good is that if you die and go to hell, right? You see, if you take everything the world has to offer, it's not worth one smidgen in heaven, right? When we get there. God ordained marriage, and guess what? You can't have this kind of marriage unless the Spirit of God energizes it, right? You're not going to do it in the flesh, right? It has to come from the Spirit of God. Father, oh, what a passage this morning, a rebuke to us men. Lord, may we not get mad at the preacher, because I just shared with them everything right out of the Word. May we not get mad with our spouse, but may we make the correction, make the necessary changes that we would have this kind of relationship. And we all fall so short many times. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And you can't identify with that love until you understand how Christ loved the church. You see, if you never confess Christ as Lord and Savior, you don't know nothing about this kind of love. This agape love. You know nothing about it. But I want to tell you, 2,000 years ago, Christ went to that cross. Perfect righteousness, did what we could not do for ourselves. And he died in our place on Calvary that we might come to him in repentance and faith. And he'll give us a home in heaven. You see, you can't earn it. You know nothing about this love unless you experience the love of Christ. He loves you. He's not willing that you perish, but he would desire that you come to him in repentance and faith this morning. Father, have your work and way in this service, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.